Good evening, church. If you would, please take out a Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4 is where we're going to be looking at the Scripture, God's Word, together this evening. Hope that you did bring a Bible with you tonight. If not, look to a friend in the pew. I'm sure there's one nearby. And let's open up Mark 4 and let's look at the Word together. Let's see these things for ourselves. I doubt not that you were handed an interactive outline on your way in. We'll study the Scriptures and fill in the blanks as we go along. But it is great to be with you tonight. I'm glad that God's people can be together in this place to worship Him. It's a fine way to close out a Lord's Day as we begin another week with those of like precious faith. So glad that you're here and that we're together. Have you ever wondered if Jesus is paying attention to what's going on? Maybe it was a situation that you were going through. Or maybe it was some circumstances of some others, but you were witnessing and you wondered, God, are you seeing this? Have you ever questioned in your own mind or even in your prayers, Lord Jesus, don't you care? Maybe it was a struggle going on in a marriage. Do you see this? Don't you care? Maybe it was a prolonged sickness and an illness, even in a child. Lord, don't you care? Maybe there's circumstances that are just beyond your control and you want to help, you want to do something, but you can't, your hands are tied. But Jesus, don't you care? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever prayed? Have you ever asked, Lord Jesus, don't you care? Tonight we're looking at Mark's gospel where the disciples, these 12 traveling with him for 3 years, they asked. And it wasn't any kind of shy, half-wondering question. There wasn't any humility or reverence about it. They were actually shouting in the face of Jesus to be heard over the volume of a terrible storm. Jesus, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? Don't you care that we are dying? Now we're going to talk about that for a couple of moments. We're going to notice that the disciples were not the only ones with questions to be asked that evening. That Jesus had some questions for them. Now you may be familiar with Mark's account. There may even be a little a heading in your Bible that the winds and the waves obey Jesus. Truly, it's one of those powerful miracles that children who have the opportunity to go to Bible classes learn from the time that they are knee-high or with Christian parents that Jesus could calm the storm and calm the storm on Galilee. And he absolutely did that. We should trust that it happened. It demonstrated that he is the Christ, the Son of God. But tonight in this lesson, I want to think for a moment about why it happened and what we can learn from it. And when we focus on the three questions asked in this paragraph, I think we gain some real insight that builds up our faith and quiets our doubts about the care of Christ. Is your Bible open to Mark chapter 4? It was read well by Brother Goad, but let's look at it one more time in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace! Be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Number one in your notes, I want to look at this first question that some disciple asked, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing, that we are dying?" Now, I say that some disciple asked because a specific name is not given us in the text. And when we compare Mark's account of this event with Matthew and Luke, it appears that many were talking all at once. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 24, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Maybe several people were calling out to Christ and trying to wake him up. Or in Matthew chapter 8 verse 25, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." Now clearly the situation is dire. The Sea of Galilee, it sits about 690 feet below sea level. when I got to go there about a year and a half ago, and we traveled to the Sea of Galilee, it was the strangest thing. But as we're driving down in the water, my ears start popping. And I hadn't really thought about it, but it was such a steep change in elevation that your ears goof with you when you're going to Tiberias or Capernaum or some of these places, all right? So it's down in this really huge geological fish bowl. And because of this, when there is a storm in the area, winds can be funneled through ravines and mountain passes, channeled onto this water directly heading down. It can get real rough on the water quickly, and that's what we see going on here in Mark 4. Jesus is tired. If you'd read all of the chapter of Mark 4, you'd find that he had been teaching all day long. He had been working on the western shore here at the Sea of Galilee. He wants to go to the eastern shore. It's less densely populated. It's the area of the Gadarenes. There's even more cliffs over there and fewer villages. They could cross over the sea in the course of one evening. And then sure enough, one of those terrible storms hit. In fact, what did verse 37 tell us? That it was a great windstorm. Here's a word that can be translated a whirlwind. So was there a cyclone on the water that night? I don't know. But this is terrible, terrible winds. Hurricane sorts of winds. The sea's choppy. The boat's already taking on water. And you have career fishermen who've seen storms before. And they have decided that this is the one. That it is all over. This storm is too much. We are perishing. And in this time of coming to realization, we're going to drown tonight. We're going to die in the middle of this lake. It's remarkable to me that they question Jesus' heart and his motives. Do you not care that we are perishing? What a question. And of all the people to ask, you know, Jesus could really have put them in their place. Oh, I'm sorry. Do I care if you're perishing? Yes, I care that you're perishing. In fact, you're perishing in ways you don't even realize. Oh, yes, I care that you're perishing. In fact, this whole world is perishing. And because I care, I've traveled a whole lot farther than across this lake to do something about it. I care that you're perishing. If anyone cares about the perishing, it is the Savior of the world. And if you come to doubt that, you need look no further than the cross of Christ. To look at his hands nailed to the cross as far as the east is from the west, that's how much he cares. That's how much he loves. You need never doubt it. But you will notice that Jesus does not answer their question directly. No, as we read the Bible together, he acts on their behalf and then he talks to them about it. How could they ask, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? And the answer is this, they were afraid. They were scared. That's how they could ask that. And that's not a deduction on my part. The Lord calls them out on this. He wants to talk to them about this very thing, that they were afraid. That brings us to number two. Jesus asked them, why are you so fearful? In verse 40, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? The disciples have their question. Do you not care that we're perishing? Afterward, Jesus has two questions for them. So what happens? Jesus rebukes the storm. He steps out onto the deck and he starts to talk to the wind like a petulant child, like a couple of fussing children. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine scolding the weather? And what's he say to him? Peace. Be still. Stop. Hush up. That's Hebrew. And immediately, it stops. All the gale, it's gone. Choppy seas, it's now the doldrums. And so from one moment of this ship rocking back and forth, and surely we're going down, to now we're all just standing here in calm waters, the water dripping off at us and looking at Jesus. And so now we can talk. And he's got a question. Why are you so fearful? I want you to appreciate that Jesus had an expectation of courage from his followers that night. They needn't be disturbed. At least three reasons could see them through this type of storm. They had number one, Christ's promise. It was his idea that they travel across the lake that night. Verse 35, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, if he said they were going to the other side, they were going to the other side. There's something very important to remember about the word of the Lord. It's never wrong. To remember about the word of the Lord, it always comes to pass that what Jesus commands, he enables. Now, he never said it would be smooth sailing all night long. He never said there will be no storms, but he said we're going to the other side. So they're going to the other side. I'm going to give you a second reason that they could quiet their doubts that night. Christ's presence. He's there with them. What does the scripture say? They took him along in the boat as he was. So they took him. And here's Jesus with them. The Son of God is with them. What can befall them that is too much for him? You see, when you have Jesus with you, it is going to work out. In the end, it is going to work out. They have Jesus with them. Finally, Christ's peace. What's Jesus doing while it's rocking and rolling out of the ocean and the water's coming into the ship? It says, well, he was asleep. He's in the stern, he's on a pillow, and he's asleep. And they mistook his peace for apathy. Oh, because you're asleep right now, you don't care that we're perishing. He's asleep right now. They mistook his peace for apathy. Here's Jesus, fully God, fully man. And we see that after all that preaching and all that working, he's tired. He's exhausted. And these guys could sail the night and he could sleep. He could sleep when he needs to sleep. And even in a terrible storm, he's got peace that allows him to rest when he needs to rest. What are the disciples hoping for when they wake him up? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're perishing? Is Jesus supposed to get up and ask them, well, what do you want me to do? Could you give me some directions? What would be helpful? Should I bail water over here? Is that what you want? I mean, you guys are the sailors. What should I do? I'm just the Son of God. Do they want Jesus to run around and panic with them? Oh, no. We are going to buy it tonight. I'm glad you woke me up for this. Do you ever have an instance like that in the car when you're doing the family road trip and it seems like dad's lost control a little bit and you were asleep in the back, but your mother said, wake up, I think we're driving off a cliff. Glad you woke me up for that. Don't want to miss that, right? Thank you. Would not want to have slept through that. Why were they afraid of perishing? That is, thinking that they would die that night. Jesus is in the boat. Why are they afraid of perishing, afraid to die? I mean, they've been traveling with the Son of God. They're going to go to heaven. Why are they so afraid? Here's the answer. Because of their unbelief. Because of their lack of faith. Their fear and their questions betray a lack of faith. The faith's weak. And again, this is not something that we're just deducing. Jesus says this. He brings it to their attention. He asks them about it. That's the third question. And number three in your notes. Jesus asked, how is it that you have no faith? Now, if you're reading from the New American Standard, do you still have no faith? Or the ESV, have you still no faith? Not only did Jesus have an expectation of some courage among his followers, he had an expectation of faith from his followers. Is that fair? Is it fair that Jesus expects his followers to believe him and trust him? I believe it is. I believe it's fair. Now, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And these apostles in the boat, they sure have been hearing a lot of preaching and teaching from the mouth of Christ himself. They've been hearing that a lot lately. They've been hearing it and they've been hearing it. But were they listening? Were they listening to the word of God? Had they got it deep in their heart? Were they making application? I want you to appreciate that this storm showed just how far they needed to go. That in the providence of God, this storm arose and showed the faith that they really had. And they had a way to go. It is the storms that show forth our faith. It's the testing that shows forth our faith. Now, what can we gain from these three questions that are asked? I think we can gain a couple of things. First, their unbelief brought about fear. Fear caused them to question of all things the motives of God, the heart of Jesus. Don't you care? Conversely, we can see that faith leads to courage, and courage keeps a confidence in Christ, confidence in his heart, even in very difficult circumstances. To greater or lesser extent, disciples, we're in this same boat today. We're in a similar boat to what these disciples were. Storms are coming. In a room this size, with a group this size, there's some people in storms right now. How are you doing? How is your faith? How is your courage? This brings us to some questions for the rest of us. Number four in your notes, some questions for the rest of us. Look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be that was in the boat with him that night? Who can this be? Jesus Christ, the Son of God? We began asking this evening, have you ever questioned God's care for you? Does Jesus care? Lord, do you care? Disciple, Jesus rightly has expectations for us, even in storms, to keep courage, to keep faith. When we ask him, do you care? He's got a couple of questions coming back for us, and it's fair to ask. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? In the midst of your storm, what do you fear? I want to encourage you tonight. What do you fear? Please appreciate that you, child of God, have Christ's promises. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. His word is true. What he commands, he enables. What he says comes to pass. You can always stand on his word. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 8, the steadiness of Christ is impressed upon us yet again. For we read in that scripture, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is a great source of courage and comfort. His word is true. We can stand on his word. You have it. And you have with you tonight Christ's presence. Though we cannot see him, he has not forsaken us. Though we cannot see him, he is with us always, even to the end of the age. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have Christ as children of God. We have his promises. We have his presence. And we can know Christ's peace. His peace is to be gained. We should look on it and want that. Not think that he is apathetic. There is nothing that is too big for him. There is nothing that surprises him. There's nothing that catches him off guard. There's nothing that scares him. And so what we can do is pray to him and pray for his peace. His peace, even in the time of great, great storms. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is the source of comfort and peace in our storms. These things bring us courage in the midst of our storms. His promises, His presence, and His peace. And how is our faith? How is our faith? Would you say that you have a little faith? Would you say that you have a great faith? The wonderful thing about faith is that it can grow. It grows deeper. It grows stronger. That faith comes by the word of God, and that was true then, and that is true today. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We may very well pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's a good prayer. But let us understand where He will answer it. In His scripture, we must come to His word. His word does not promise no storms for my people. We don't always need to pray for miracles. Lord, just make this storm stop. Lord, just make this storm stop. But we do need faith in His word. That He is with us. And He will see us through to the other side. It's a hard thing where we're going through the storms, through the trials, through the testing. We get anxious. We get fearful. Our faith can be weak. And yet, let me encourage you tonight, Jesus has never stopped caring about you. And in these challenging times, our heart is tested. Do we care about Jesus? Of course, Jesus cares. Let us care for the Christ. Jesus, don't you care? He certainly does. And I appreciate your good attention. I invite you to put your Bibles away and your notes away. We're going to have some more wonderful song worship in just a moment. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing? Well, for the children of God, it's good to know Jesus Christ. It's good to know His promises never fail. It's good to know that His presence is with us. It's good to know that He offers us peace. And He will see us through. And so, let the invitation be this. That it's one thing to read this, but sometimes we need a hug. Sometimes we need to see a face. Let me tell you about the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church of Christ. And you're sitting in the midst of the Lord's church tonight, this congregation here. Maybe it's a storm, a trial, a real difficult time right now. Let the body come around you, lift you up in prayer, give you a hug. Be there in this time. Let us do that for you. If we can encourage you. Bring you courage. Help stoke the faith. Come forward and let this need be known. We want to love you. We want to help you through it. And if you are not a child of God, then the invitation is to become a child of God. How wonderful would it be to know that the next storm, here is Christ with you. And He will see you through. And the body of Christ to come around you. And we'll get through this together. By the grace of God. And according to His will, Jesus cares. The church can minister to a spiritual need in prayer or some other way. And this time is for you to come forward and make it known. If we can baptize you in the Christ, and this time is to come forward and make it known. But don't leave here tonight doubting for a second. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cares about you, cares about your soul. Leave here right with Christ tonight. If we can help you with any need, come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?